I mean, and then Hasbro bought them out while I was there. So Marvel doesn't make their own toys anymore, and they actually fired every single person in Marvel Toy Biz. And they
lost your internship.
Oh yeah, of course. No, I lost my job. They gave me they gave me like a part-time gig there. I worked there for 2 days.
Yeah.
And they were like, dude,
2 days.
Yeah. They're like, dude, we're firing everybody. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. I was like, I mean, they were the staple in the action figure industry for 20 something years.
Yeah, and I was
there for two fucking days. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. And it was it was funny because the president of Toy Biz was like, dude, we really liked you, and we knew we were firing everybody, but we just like kind of wanted to, like, you know, so you could say you worked here kind of thing. I was like, oh, you jerk. You know, I was it was the greatest, you know, thing of my career, but also the biggest kick to the nuts I've ever gotten. So
That's how it goes sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's funny because, you know, you think Marvel was like this really cool, like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory kind of thing. Dude, it was just like a big gray building in Manhattan, and it was just cubicles, man. It really sucked.
That's what I've heard, that, like,
people
have this preconceived notion of, like, going and working in comics and expecting it to be, like, the National Lampoon offices, when really it's just a business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was funny when I saw, you know how they put the comic books together? It was people that emailed PNGs to this lady, and she just put them together in Photoshop. I was like, oh, my God. So, like, you go there, and, like, she's like, oh, you want to see the newest Wolverine issue? And it's just, like, a lady, and she's just, I think her name was Susan or something, and she's just, like, clicking, and I was like, oh, this sucks. I was like, fucking no, Susan. It, like, broke my heart to see that. But
you got to see how the sausage was made.
Exactly. But the Toy Biz part where I worked was actually really cool. There was, like, toy prototypes everywhere, and I got to take home all types of really cool stuff that was actually not meant to be toys. Like, I have all this, like, unpainted Spider-Men with, like, Spider-Women heads and, like, all this, like, weird shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was really cool, man.
Scientist type shit.
Yeah, it was really cool stuff. I got, like, the master sculpts, because, you know, back in the day before 3D printing, they actually sculpted the figures.
Yeah.
So, like, I have all that shit, man. Like, where they based the figures off of, like, the master sculpts and all that kind of great stuff. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun, but it was a big kick to the old beanbag there.
it's funny, like, because I just talked to somebody recently about I can't remember which fucking comic book company we were talking about, but about a decade ago, I think, or so, there was a brand new company that just came in gangbusters as fuck. Like, just started destroying in terms of, like, ratings and copies sold and titles and stuff. And then the company went belly up, and, like, in a really embarrassing way. And then everybody was like, no, I don't want to talk about when I worked for them.
Right.
I can only imagine that's got to kind of be, like, the life you're living right now with that particular with that particular endeavor is, no, it was awesome for two fucking days.
Well, I really I interned there for 6 months, I was there for like 6 months, but, like, really my actual job when I got hired as, like, a freelance kind of, like, artist was for 2 days. So that really did suck. But I was there for like 6 months, like, you know, walking into Marvel, I have my you know, my badge to, like, get cleared in that says Garrett Fates, you know, Marvel and all that fun stuff.
Sure.
So it was really cool, but then again, it was also like an office gig, so it was like really 9 to 5, like, in Manhattan, like really kind of soul crushing.
What were you doing there? Did I just miss that part, or?
Oh, what was I doing there? Yeah, I interned for Marvel Toy Biz doing character design and concept art for their Marvel Legends for the action figure line.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was like dream come true. I loved it. I did concept art and illustration stuff for, like, you know, Wolverine and Beast and all that stuff for the Marvel Legends lines, which were actually really, really great action figures. Super.
Yeah, I had a couple of the Marvel Legends Wolverines.
You might have one that I did. I did one of the later X-Men ones. It was actually the first one that, since Hasbro bought them out, that actually Hasbro put out, not Toy Biz.
Right.
I also did Zorin, who was actually Magneto's alternate identity for a little while too. So I did a bunch of them. So it was really cool.
The Marvel Legends is sort of becoming the, like, Star Wars black box of right. Marvel figures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I have like so many like actual prototypes for that and like ones and like all kinds of really cool shit.
I am so jealous.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. But you know, I do live with the soul crushing emptiness of having to work there for 2 days. So,
you
know.
Yeah.
It kind of takes away from it. So.
And in between, there you
I take a look at the figures. I'm like, oh, that's really great. And then I'm like, oh, that sucks so bad. And I just put them away, kind of thing. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, you know, being there and stuff. And, you know, it really gave me a taste for, like, you know, in the industry and working with actually big-time entertainment labels and fun stuff like that.
I mean, that's got to be gratifying, though, knowing that that's part of your work history.
Oh yeah, I was there, dudes, on the resume, the whole deal, you know. All the people that I kind of worked under now like don't work in any type of cool thing. One of my friends from there designs like trash cans for Disneyland.
So like we all had the same response of like how.
But have you seen Disney's trash cans though?
Yeah,
they're actually kind of awesome.
Yeah, they're very, very.
They're very awesome. It's awesome stuff, and they're very detailed. But like, and then my other friend who did a lot of the AutoCAD, like the 3D stuff, designs lipstick caps for Revlon.
This is
so much
worse. Dude, it's like and like that was a good job for them.
They're that
like,
is a good job. Them.
But you have no, to like
that's
you,
a huge market. Like my girlfriend
yeah,
in high
yeah,
school.
Yeah, so it's yeah. It's sad, but dude, I mean, you know, you got to pay bills.
You have to think somebody has to design them.
Exactly, well, exactly. Yeah. And I'm glad to think that some type of Marvel artist is doing that. So it's cool. Yeah. You know? It's whenever really you put on your lipstick, you can think that you're Wolverine. Like, oh shit, you know.
Because I wear a ton of lipstick.
Exactly,
so.
Dude. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah. But I prefer to think that I'm Poison Ivy.
I am a fancy boy.
Nice. It's a necessity. And I like to think that Wolverine wore some type of Revlon. You know, he's like, I wouldn't go CoverGirl with him. I think more Revlon.
No,
and Gambit.
That's good synergy.
Gambit wore guy liner, so there's got to be a makeup line that is like Gambit makeup line.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
It's probably called Mon Cher.
Oh, yeah, something. Oh, I like that.
Oh, that is good.
Mon Cher. That's awesome. By Gambit.
This is an untapped market. Nice. Right?
Dumpster Fire hot sauce and Mon Cher cologne.
Well, yeah.
You're starting to see the crossover, right, between like fashion and cosplay. Because
yeah,
you've got girls that go to cons that want to dress up and spend money on stuff, but the only time they have a chance to dress up is at these cons.
Right,
Why not go full board? I see Marvel
actually like coming out with it and making a good buck on it, too.
Yeah.
Disney is not afraid. They will make a buck however the fuck they can.
Dude, I know. And it's really sad, man. I mean, like, you know, Marvel doesn't do anything. They don't make their own figures. They don't make their own movies. They barely make comic books. And
agreed.
But they're trying to get it back. I mean, it was really sad in the while I was there in the early 2000s and stuff. They were all about selling off and licensing their things because they made more money off of that than
you can make so much more money off a license and just outsourcing the labor.
Of course, I was talking to the head of the Toy Biz people, and they were like, "Dude, you know how much money we waste on like getting the figures made and then storing them and all that kind of stuff?" And they were like, "We just sold the like rights to it, and made like I don't know how many millions, and I think there was like a billion or something. It was like crazy.
It's like the Pittsburgh Pirates. They just train up the players and then give them to good teams."
You got it. But yeah, it's so I think now they're trying to like actually get a little bit of the movies back. I know after the last Fantastic Four debacle.
Don't get me started.
Well, they actually Marvel pulled all the Fantastic Four comic books to actually lower the stock in the Fantastic Four stuff so they could buy back the rights to the movies cheap.
I actually just had this conversation the other day.
Yeah, it's sad. It's crazy. And to think about that they got to pull that kind of shady stuff to get the rights back to some. It's really sad. And,
I don't view that as shady. I view that as them making a mistake and just trying to backpedal.
Right, they're trying to correct it. It's true, but you know, for them to like kind of like drive down the stock of something that made them so much money on purpose, so the guy, I don't know, it's just like a kind of.
Well, but
do you think they're paying Bryan Singer to make bad X-Men movies?
Yeah.
Because I feel like they are.
That's kind of the flip side of it, right? You get Fox and Sony in there fucking up their brand, and you can't have that either.
Except for what Fox has let James Mangold do. Because the last Wolverine movie was pretty good, in my opinion. And I think the new Logan is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I have high hopes for Logan. I have high hopes for that. And the last Wolverine one was good with the whole kind of, like, with the samurai angle and, like, the Japanese
stuff. I liked it until the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, the first part of the movie was really good, and then it fell apart.
Because it was, like, a good Yakuza crime story for a while.
Right.
And then they flipped it on its head by taking away his powers for a little bit.
Yeah,
which I appreciated.
I like that too, and it was funny because a lot of the really good old Wolverine comic stuff was him as Patch in Japan with the Yakuza stuff and all that. There was like a lot of really good storylines with him. I remember the original Wolverine comic, like I think from the sub series set, like the original one. My earliest memory is him in a pile of ninjas, and there was like blood everywhere and all that kind of stuff. And it was like the first comic book to have blood in it, and I was like, oh man, this is like so outrageous. And they kind of paid a good homage to that with the last one.
Yeah.
But
my favorite part of Age of, well, I guess it was X-Men Apocalypse, was when they found Wolverine in the Weapon X facility.
I
just loved how brutal it was.
Yeah,
and it also completely retconned the garbage that was X-Men Origins Wolverine.
<It's true. laughs> Yeah, they give you that two or three good minutes where you're like, okay, you know, and then they kind of like can, you know, hide all their crap under the garbage.
X-Men is kind of the first movie series to get that retcon treatment that
absolutely.
We expect and deserve as comic book fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made an entire movie to retcon one movie. Yeah.
So
it's true.
I just want to go ahead and point this out. This is the first time that we've ever started a soft open with real content.
I know.
And so on that note, welcome to Name Redacted. My name is Alexander Fulmer.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
And I'm Colin Norris.
And this week with us, we have Garrett Faith, the wonderful, the miraculous, the god of booth salesmanship.
No shit.
Thank you.
Garrett Faith.
Thank you very much. I try. I know. I'm sorry to be so awesome, but, you know, somebody's got to do it.
If any of you listening have ever been to any of the, like, local North Carolina conventions, if you don't know who Garrett is by name, you absolutely know who he is by the booth and by the shades.
Right.
You know who Garrett is. So
that's
and it's
the
like
man in the glasses.
He starts talking and you just start throwing $20 bills at him.
I actually had a girl come over, not buy anything, and just throw money at me, like, "Oh, you're so awesome!" And just actually gave me money a couple times, and I was like a little shocked by that. But yeah, you know, I try to provide fine art for the average adventurer. That's me, you know, trying to bring awesome art to the masses at an affordable price, that kind of thing. You know.
It's some of my favorite stuff at cons.
Thank you. I try to be a little out there, a little different. I mean, you know, when you go to comic cons, it's like, you know, painting a Spider-Man, and then it's me, you know, with a film noir detective Raptor, you know, that kind of thing.
Which is brilliant.
You mean a T-shirt that I bought called Rex Preston?
Rex Preston, PI, solves a case but eats his clients. You know.
Yes.
And that's something else I appreciate. Every art piece that you've done has a very strong backstory.
Yeah.
Even if it's only three sentences or two sentences, it's strong.
Yeah, it's strong.
Oh, it's longer than that in my head. But yes, it's I tried, and it's funny because like I kind of paint the painting and then like the whole story kind of goes along with it. A lot of my stuff has a lot of puns and fun stuff in it, and the puns come after I paint it. Like I have a cowboy shark, and then I which is the shark with no name, which is a homage to like the you know, the Clint Eastwood westerns, you know.
Yeah, the Sergio Leone films. Absolutely.
You got it because he's the man with no name in those movies. And look, I mean, dude, if a tornado can be composed solely of sharks, a shark can use a six shooter. So
a fucking man.
Right. So I painted cards in his pocket, and then he became like a card shark, you know. Kind of thing.
That's my God.
But it's funny because it came at the end. I threw that little detail in, and I'm like, oh, there we go, you know. Sexy pizza, dude. That's you know, Cassandra Rigatoni. You know, she's a real saucy girl. You know, it's a hot dish right there. she's creating a real love triangle between me and my wife. You know. It's the next level of food porn. I mean, I can keep going. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just that's that one writes itself, the jokes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I try to bring humor and, like, you know, fun stuff to my artwork because, you know, it's hard to get people to be passionate about your art if you're not, you know, that kind of thing.
It's rule one, basically. If you don't have anything invested, nobody else should.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You are also all over the place. Like, we met you the first time. I think I met you the first time at Lexington Comic Con.
Oh, yes. Yes, Lexington. Yeah. Con, yeah.
And man, like, your shit was all we could talk about all day.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it's so off the wall and all over the place. Dude, it's so fucking fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, I, like I said, I try to be different and I try to stand out a little bit. And I never do anything that I think people would like. I kind of do paintings for myself. Yeah. Because I've been working in the indie video game industry for the past like 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing a lot of art direction and things like that where I don't really get to paint a lot. So I kind of just am babysitting artists. So this is my way of getting.
And you're working off of notes from the developer, right. So you don't really have a lot of freedom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, yeah. And I also do a lot of texture art, which is basically just, doing the, painting the character skins that, like, wrap around the 3D characters.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no, I mean, there's a little bit of artistic influence you can do, but basically there's a concept piece you have to follow, and then you get swatches for, the colors and all that kind of stuff.
You're trying to match the template rather than being creative on your own.
Exactly. Yeah. And I try to sneak a little bit in there, and I do get away with some stuff. Like I don't want to, give away too much, but one of my characters that I did was like an evil, like Easter Bunny kind of thing.
Okay.
And he had like a backpack that had like eggs in it, and I kind of painted my initials, and I did a little fun thing. I did a little homage to like Evil Dead on one of them and all that kind of stuff. So
nice.
I kind of threw a little bit of things in there, and I get to do that sometimes, which is fun. But
Five Nights at Freddy, was it?
No.
Chris and I both had the
just
same thought.
Just making sure. I was like,
I work, like I said, in the indie video game industry. A lot of my
indie game.
Fun stuff. It is true. It is an indie game, but it's kind of like in the mainstream kind of
thing. It's exploded.
Yeah.
It's absolutely exploded.
Yeah. Which,
for a stupid little point and click jump scare fucking video game, it's huge.
And it's sad because, like, when you think about multi-million-dollar studios, dude, they spend, like, I don't know how many millions of dollars on a product, and it fucking sucks, man. You're like, oh, dude, this game's, like, what did I waste 8 hours of my life on?
They miss the gameplay.
You got it, dude.
They get so distracted by the production of it that they just miss what makes it fun.
Wait, dude, you summed it up right in a nutshell. It's all about making money, and they forgot about the fun. So, video games back in the day was all about fun. You know, you weren't supposed to beat them, dude. You know, it was all about spending 6 months on a game. Now they want you to beat it, so you buy another one. Like, it's all bullcrap. Like, nobody cares, and like half the stuff is made by some 18-year-old kid that doesn't even have a college degree who's never even played Nintendo, and he's
that's
like,
the dream, right?
It's sad, but you know what? Because back in the day, man, like, the stuff was made by like actual coders and like people that were passionate about stuff and things, and they cared about doing a quality product. Now it's all about money grabbing and bullcrap like that. But that brings me back to Five Nights at Freddy's and the indie game industry. It's very fresh, and a lot of people are doing some fun stuff with it. And I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the first time we've actually had somebody in the games industry.
Oh, nice!
Like, excellent. Because we've talked about video games a lot.
Yeah, we've gotten the PR spiel about some stuff, but we've never talked to somebody that like does that.
Right.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, no, I've worked for a couple of small indie studios, and I've done, like I said, I was art director for one for like 6-7 years, and I've done texture art for other ones, and I did concept art for a few. But indie game studios are a dime a dozen because they like pop up, and if their actual game does not do well, they go under right away.
Right, because they always start with that one game.
You got it. Well, they put all their eggs in one basket, and that basket isn't like good. You're done. Yeah. So it's
or you have a nervous breakdown like Phil Fish.
Yeah,
that basket is made of wicker.
Yeah,
I was gonna say wicker, but yeah, it's true.
Because wicker's terrible.
It's a tricky thing though, because like it takes. Listeners know that we listen in, that we work in film production and audio production, obviously, but like. Game production is insane amounts of money. Like the number of people that you have to involve.
Oh, it's insane, dude. It's
title.
Oh my god. And people kind of don't think about that stuff. You know, you're like playing, you're like, "Oh, this is great." Meanwhile, there was like 80 people involved. Some of these studios at the end, you look at the credits and they talk about like all the babies born during the production. Like, Jesus Christ. You mean you're like, "What the hell?" Oh, my production babies and shit. The thing went on for 10 years, and you played it for 3 hours, and it sucked. And you're like, oh my god.
I'll tell you a game that was worth every moment of playing the campaign, and that was Titanfall 2.
Oh, Titanfall was good.
Titanfall 2's campaign was an absolute blast.
Yeah, but I mean, it took 2 hours, but still.
I'm sorry.
It took me about 4 or 5.
That's good. Four's respectable. Four's respectable.
I have to just interject. Our producer, like, is hot in the room we're in. So she took her overshirt off, and she's just wearing a regular, like, white, common wife beater shirt.
Ooh,
and
nice.
I turned over, and I looked at her, and I was like, I feel like I'm at my granddad's house because he's just like this old Italian guy sitting in the corner wearing nothing but jeans and a beater. And I turn my head and I'm just like, oh, it's just like the old days.
See, I thought she accidentally flashed you.
No, it's just, the beater to me just says, I'm at grandpa's.
Yeah.
Well, I like to think I bring that out in a lot of women. You know, they always kind of.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I'm sorry. I had a.
No, you're fine. We're an explicit podcast. I don't give a fuck.
Nice. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, I'm actually a big fan of the indie video game industry and how they're kind of focusing on the fun. And I mean, you know, people are out there to make money, but it's also about making, you know, cool games and fun things like that. And it's nice. It's refreshing.
It's real punk rock in a way. Like, because they're just doing things because they want to, and they're not taking no for an answer.
Crystal Fly is a way to make anything.
The rise of crowdfunding.
And the fact that one of the studios that, well, I don't want to name names and stuff, but one of the studios I was in was a bunch of actual like-minded fans of this specific game genre that we actually brought back, and we got funded through Kickstarter. We made like $600,000 or something like that.
That's
to actually, and that's nothing, dude. I mean, it took $2 million to make the game.
That's like a month's nothing. Worth of production.
Hey, but
exactly.
Six,
so what it did was
$6 million is enough to talk to somebody and be like, hey. These people felt like this, or sorry, 600,000 is enough to be like, hey, these people think it's worth making. What about you?
Right, exactly. Which, and what it did was a lot of the, and since we were all fans of the genre and like, you know, and we actually wanted to, you know, break into the industry, you know, people took less on their paycheck and stuff to kind of limp along. But what it did was we were able to put out, you know, a small snippet of like a couple of levels and stuff that people really liked, and then they funded some more, and then that's how the thing snowballed after that. But yeah, I've been part of crowdfunding and, you know, in the Steam community. My games are up on Steam and stuff, so it's really been, you know, refreshing. It's kind of like a renaissance of the video game industry. It's been on the past couple of years.
I've got a weird question to ask.
Sure, yes, shoot.
So you said that like people were taking a hit on their paycheck because they got the crowdfunding and things like that. Is it something that paid off, or is it something that could pay off? Because a lot of times you hear about crowdfunding stuff happening and projects getting made, but there's X amount of sunk hours that people just aren't getting paid for.
Well, see, at the end of the day, if it's a passion project and things you really care about, you don't see it all back. I mean, I'd have to say that the company that I've been part of, I don't think I got as much compensation as I should have, but it was a super awesome experience, and that can't put a price on. So that's what's really great about
Plus
it.
But
the
resume potential of it.
Yeah, the resume credential, credential. But also it's the experience and the fun and all that kind of great stuff, and, you know, building connections and brotherhood and, you know, great things. But I do agree, you can sort of not be you can sort of not get as much money as you should for things.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're not in it for the buck. You're in it for getting your artwork out there and stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, some people are. Some people. You know, some people.
I was just wondering, because you hear stories from both sides. And it's hard to weigh them.
Right. Well, it's every experience is different. And I do agree. I don't think I got enough compensation that I should have. But then at the end of the day, the experience was such an awesome thing where you can't put a price tag.
And that's
you can't
the only
put a price
way
tag.
That you get to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, building something out of nothing and all that fun stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's really it's a fun experience, and I would do it all over again, especially that particular studio I worked for that did the crowdfunding and all that great stuff. But anyway, it's great to be a part of that, and I'm excited that I'm the first that I popped your cherry. I was the first actual video game person. That's
That was just that's just a bonus because really, oh, yeah. We want you here to plug Dungeonwares, but
exactly. I'm full of bonuses, man. You know, there we go. Yeah, work for Marvel, video game industry, awesome guy. You know, rooftop sword fights, all that great stuff.
Rooftop sword fights?
Ah, come on. Well, we'll get into that later. You know.
Okay.
But you know, it's not what I'm here to discuss. Is all of my epic rooftop battles, but that also my artwork as well too.
We can plug your artwork. We'll put a website on that. I think people would buy more of your artwork if they knew about rooftop sword fights.
Well, that and also my dabbling in light lycanthropy too, which really is, it's light,
like just your hands and your feet just get a touch, furry.
Just a touch of lycanthropy.
Right, exactly. Just a touch of it. Just a touch of it. You know.
Is that just that's what I'm gonna say when I forget to shave.
It's mild lycanthropy.
Lycanthropy.
You got it, dude. You got it, dude. But
it's not. Yeah, it's not an acute case. It's just
right. Right. It's not. It's not full on. It's just light moonlighting as one.
Oh God.
Jesus. And,
I had to do it. Come on.
This is why my girlfriend and Garrett Faith get along so fucking well.
Oh yeah.
It's. I think the most recent Sarah joke I've gotten is dogs can't get an MRI, but cats can.
Nice.
She's just in the other room yelling it and clapping. Cats can.
So selling art at Comic. Well, selling art at Comic Cons and stuff, you really don't get people's attention for that long. You have a minute or two to really make a connection. And,
yeah.
So the throwing of the funny little 2-second jokes really helps with getting people hooked on the art. I mean, your art's got to be good too. I mean, I'm not just saying that's all.
Well, yours certainly is. But, I wouldn't call it mediocre. That's for sure.
Also, thank you.
Props on being like one of the few guys that we see that is a solid type A extrovert. Like that is a rarity in the industry.
Oh, thank you.
And it's also refreshing to have a big personality in a smaller booth instead of a dork with a print tower.
Yeah.
That's selling other people's artwork.
Right. And I don't want to say dork with a print tower, but you do see a lot of that kind of stuff. I tried to really just I'm trying to connect with the patron and stuff because at the end of the day it's very refreshing. They're buying a piece of your soul.
Absolutely.
Somebody your artwork and I'm not there to make a quick buck. I'm there to hook up people with fine art and things.
Yeah.
I went to school for fine arts and then I went back to school for computer arts. So I have degrees in fine arts and dynamic computer media. So I have associates and bachelor's degrees in art. I've been painting and drawing my whole life. I mean, when my friends were going to basketball leagues and stuff, I was in fine art painting, classes. Like my mother enrolled me in that. So I'm my friends are outside playing basketball and I'm doing a fine art portrait of my sister when I'm 12 years old, that kind of thing. So I don't want to say that I'm not, an amateur person, but I'm actual real industry artist at that.
No, you're a professional, in the truest sense of the word.
Right. Well, I try. I try.
So that actually makes me wonder. I when we're doing this podcast, I like to think we've got three subsets of an audience. Mm-hmm. We've got the people that show up for the jokes, which is awesome and amazing.
Awesome.
And then we've got people who show up to find out about cool things, but we also have a third piece of the audience that is creators and they want to learn about stuff. So how did you transition from fine arts and video game design into going and rocking a booth at a comic convention?
Oh, well, honestly, it came out about organically the way that I started Dungeonwares and really selling art at Comic-Cons was I've been, painting and drawing my whole life, and I basically did a lot of art for myself over the past, a couple of years because as a, an art director in a video game company, I'm basically babysitting people in Russia, so I didn't really get a chance to... I didn't really get a chance to kind of get my art out there, and this was kind of my way of doing it. It was really my wife that kind of said, you really got to share it with the world and stuff. And I tried. I think I'm more of a private person, when it comes to things like that. And I was really unsure of that if people were really going to like my weird art because I try to be a little different. Out there kind of thing.
Yeah, people eat weird shit up, man.
Yeah.
Kind of the parlance of the age.
Right. And I thought I was, stemming back to before where I was the one kid that was kind of drawing Wolverine in his room while the rest of the kids are playing football. So I kind of thought, you know, oh, maybe, you know, there might be an audience for this. And I figured, oh, maybe the only people that would buy my art would be like-minded people, like at a Comic-Con and things like mm-hmm. that. So it came apart out of
being and just they wanting, are. There's just right. a lot of them.
Right.
So and you're not mm-hmm. doing hack work. It's not yeah, well, like you're not just smashing together two pieces of IP, throwing it on T-Fury to make a quick buck. Like
exactly.
Your artwork yeah. is fine art. It's really well done.
Well, and, I try. And, yeah, and I mean, like I said, I'm trying to really bring, you know, fine art to like the masses and something that's you know, affordable and fun and a little different and, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's really about getting my art and paintings out there kind of thing. So yeah, so I kind of was like, oh, you know, maybe I should, you know, go to a couple Comic Cons and see if people even like my stuff and that yeah. kind of thing. And it just really exploded from there. I do like almost like every con I can kind of sort of yeah. drive.
Are you gonna be at Oak City?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic.
I had another con on the same day as Oak City last year, and that's why I didn't do it. And actually, that other con was fabulous, but I'm going to be at Oak City. Yep, I will be there.
Fantastic.
I'm excited. That's our biggest con of the year.
We'll have to pull you aside for a few minutes and do a
little spot. Oh, yeah, dude. I have a lot of awesomeness planned. You know, there's going to be extra amounts of wizard kittens and baby dragons, but a couple of other awesome surprises.
Well, I got $40 with your name on it. So
you got it, dude. For $40, I can hook you up with some pretty epic artwork. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. And my T-shirts are kind of limited edition, so I'm kind of all out of my Mustang Cthulhus and my film noir detective raptors.
I wanted a Mustang Cthulhu.
Oh, Mustang Cthulhu was like the top seller, man. I mean, that thing was outrageous. I mean,
you put Cthulhu on a toaster and somebody will buy it.
It's true. I mean, look, if you're a fan of Elder Gods or Mustangs, you know, you're just a Mustang.
Fan of
both.
You
can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that. So, like, that's all sold out. So I'm working on a couple of new, because my T-shirts are limited edition and exclusive, because, yeah. again, it's not something you can get at Walmart. It's a one-of-a-kind, right. you know, custom thing.
I like how Colin was saying, you don't just smash two fandoms together, but you do. But they're right. just so out there
yeah.
that it works. Like it's right. it's different than just like
it's better than like chibi Guardians of the Galaxy fighting the Power Rangers
exactly.
while the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles watch.
Like right.
And I try not to do too much fan art stuff. I really just do paintings of things that I like and stuff from yeah. my life, that kind of thing.
And it's
like
it's found like an audience.
Right, like my guitar tour who's in Hard Rocking Minotaur is just like a homage to you know, my love of Greek mythology and hard rock and things like that. And that's also, and then that becomes a play on all types of things. Or Motorcycle Nessie, which is my love.
I love Motorcycle Nessie so fucking much.
Which is a love for my, you know, love of cryptids and, you know, that kind of stuff. And motorcycles. So.
I love cryptids too.
Also, exactly. do you own a bike?
No, I don't own a bike. My wife will not let me have one. I do have a Mustang, though. So that's where Mustang Cthulhu comes from. I've been driving the same black Mustang for my whole life. I traded my 1997 in for my 2012. So I've been
that 2012 body style is very.
Oh sharp. Yeah, man, that thing's outrageous. I'm so upset with what they did with the new one. I mean, dude, man, that thing is garbage. I mean, I can't believe that Mustang actually came out with a 4-cylinder car. I mean, yeah, like what the hell? I mean, for what I paid for my V6 is what they're selling a 4-cylinder for. I was like, yeah. dude, what, are you kidding? I mean, it's unbelievable. And what's really sad is like that's something that's like American muscle, and they tried to make it smaller, like an import, like a you know, like a you know, an import kind of sports car thing. And they're really steering away from like the muscle car side of it. And it was sad for me to see that.
Yeah,
but.
And they hid a soundboard inside the car computer
yep.
to imitate the sound wow. of like an 8-cylinder,
which they stole Shut up, from you a fucking
really?
Movie. Wait, excuse
oh,
me.
Yeah, yeah, they stole that from a movie where, like, it was Kevin James and Vince Vaughn, and they were like car guy, like they were
car salesmen.
Like, no, they weren't car. They were car developers.
Yeah,
like engine okay. developers.
It's called the.
I don't remember. It's about one of the guys getting cheated on by his wife. It's yeah. stupid,
man.
But, oh yes, like, yes, they stole yeah, it I remember. From I remember that. I didn't see that, but I do remember someone's Good. Wife getting cheated on. I think the wife Don't was a writer or something like that.
But no, that happens a lot over in Europe because they use a lot of smaller mm-hmm. block mm-hmm. engine cars. Mm-hmm. But the thing is this is an American muscle car. It shouldn't yeah. be faking it. Engine noise.
Yeah, just take the muffler off it.
It sucks. I mean, and I like my new, you know, my 2012 Mustang. I mean, the mileage I get compared to my 97. I mean, my 97 just ate gas, man. That thing was just like a gas eater. So, dude, I couldn't believe it. Like a four-cylinder Mustang. Man, what is the world coming to, you know, dude?
That's why I'm just going to buy a Charger.
Right. I mean, what's next is going to be a band on, you know, rooftop sword fights and everything, too. And what am I going to do? What am I going to do on my Saturday nights, man? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
He just keeps burying the lead.
He does. And I want to know about rooftop sword fights.
We'll get to it.
Rooftop sword fights. I feel like a good way for us to segue into rooftop sword fights is we like to ask a lot of our people who come on the show, like the guests, about some of their craziest convention experiences.
Cool. Like, okay.
So other than my girlfriend's daughter stealing the picture of your cat.
Oh, yes. And you know what was really funny about that was I was actually talking to Batgirl, and she was talking to me about my Wizard Kitten t-shirt, which is a pet portrait of my cat.
Yes.
And I said, oh, somebody just stole the picture of it, and I don't have it. And literally that exact moment you came up and said, here's the picture, and Batgirl flipped out. She was like, she thought I planted it. She thought that I like gave it to you and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, nope. And
which also, by the way, is brilliant marketing. Like, you should just have 30 Polaroids of your cat to give to people. People would love that. Like, oh, where'd you get that? I don't know. Some dude gave me a picture of his cat. You should find him. He's on the floor.
Well, you know what? Well, that's kind of sort of what I do. I give a little piece of my soul and my heart with things. So it's like, you know, a painting of my, you know, my Wizard Kitten t-shirt is like a painting of my, you know, cat. And stemming back to other things, I do a lot of pet portraits and fun stuff like that. So, you know, if you ever wanted your cat as James Bond or Ronald Reagan on a unicorn, you know, let me know. I don't judge. I just paint.
And he's fucking adorable.
Nice.
And I would love. Oh my god.
I want to get a picture of Einstein as the Silver Surfer.
Ooh, I like that. I mean, dude. I mean, if you want to, like, you know, have your cat as a dragon and you're riding him into battle, or just Donald Trump in a bikini. I mean, I don't judge.
Donald Trump in a bikini.
I don't judge, man. I just paint.
A cat with a spray tan.
Right.
Or just anyway,
sorry, cabbie. Sorry about that to diverge from the question.
Yes,
no,
yes,
it's
yes,
fine.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, you're great.
Awesome. So, what was it about the craziest stuff we saw? I've seen at a con,
or just like craziest things that have happened to you? Like, what's your crazy con story? When somebody's like, any weird shit ever happened to you in these conventions? Yeah.
Oh, I have, dude, I mean, I've done so many. I mean, I probably have about 10,000 stories. I mean, let's see. A good story was, I like to take, I'll give you two. I like to take pictures of people with my artwork for Instagram and fun stuff like that to kind of show, hey, look, you know, like Sailor Moon loves my Wizard Kitten, or, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to take a picture of this girl. She was buying a surfing werewolf t-shirt. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a full moon to enjoy a surfing lichen, you know. Kind of thing. But so she was posing with the shirt, and I said, oh, can I take a picture for Instagram? And she said no, because people will recognize her from her porn past. And I was like, so some like porn star that bought my thing, and I couldn't like plug her, and you know, I was like, no,
he couldn't
kind of
plug
thing.
Her. That's and a fun like, hey,
I was waiting for someone to pick up on that. I tried to sneak that in because my wife.
Oh, you can't
here.
Sneak shit past us.
I know. My
also,
wife's sitting
you
here.
Tried to sneak it in. Hey,
come on. Hey. Well, I try to go in the back door on that one.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I feel like that's a rite of passage, selling art to a porn star. Like,
we've been trying to get porn stars on this show for
like,
years.
I think 2 years now.
I didn't recognize her, so I don't think it was anybody mainstream. I don't know. But anyway, so that was like a really funny story. But I think my favorite thing, this one was outrageous. This story was really great. I'm at, I think it was Florence Comic Con, which was a really good Comic Con, by the way. That was
good things.
That was a great show. That was a great show. I showed up late because I had some puppy problems that day. But anyway, when I got there, I was like an hour into it, and it was a great show. And I was next to my friend, and they were broadcasting a lot of things going on at the con on a big screen that was in front of us. And so, you know, the whole day we've been watching stuff. And then all of a sudden there was a wedding. You know, two people were getting married there. And so then they were talking about, like, the bride, do you say I do? So the groom goes to lift the veil off the bride, and it was an alien from Aliens, and then the little mouth shot out.
Oh, wow.
It was an Alien versus Predator wedding. And I was like, oh, it was like the like most outrageous thing I've ever seen. So, you know, looking up and I'm expecting to see like, you know, like just a girl and the thing. And it was the actual alien and the little mouth shot out. And I think the little mouth had a veil on it, too. And I was like shocked. I was like, oh my God. And I turned to the guy next to me. I'm like, dude, is that an Alien versus Predator wedding? And he just like nodded at me. And I was like, sold. You know,
like nothing serious. Like, no, did not respond in a very like definitive way. It was just like, yeah, that's what it is. Like,
exactly. He just nodded. And I was like, oh excellent.
Very it's good. Almost like, the fuck does it look like, dipshit? Of course it's an Alien versus Predator.
Because I didn't realize the hands that like took the veil off were really like scaly and like yeah. like predator hands, and I was like, because they were actually, there was people there selling really high end movie quality masks and stuff, and I think that's where they got this stuff. But anyway, it was like a real Alien versus Predator wedding. There was vows and
that's some all kinds that's of some good impressive things. Cosplay, especially
right,
to
like
get,
you know, like, you know, thou shall not burn my egg sacks and all that.
Oh yes.
Right, all that really good stuff, you know, like, you know, and then at the end, like, Ripley came out, and no, but honestly, it was really, really cool. I mean, and it, there's always that kind of little funny, quirky thing that happens at a lot of cons when you're just like, dude, did that just happen? And then someone's like, mm-hmm, and you're like, yeah. Okay. And you just move on. So that's another thing I love about selling my art at Comic Cons. There's always something funny and, you know, wacky.
It's a lot better. Like if you're gonna work in retail, you might as well work at a con, because it's way better than like
selling
shirts at Old Navy.
Right, and I've sold my artwork at, like, you know, art shows and, you know, things like that, and it ends up being just a lot of, like, I don't want to say old bags, but that's what it ends up being. It ends up being, like, a lot of older people buying doilies and, like, pinwheels for their lawn and stuff, and, like, you know, they're not interested in, you know, hard-rocking minotaurs and cowboy sharks and fun stuff like that. So
because they're wrong.
Right.
It's right. Because they're Nazis. I had to invoke Godwin's law.
Right, but they're definitely wrong. I would say that they're wrong about that. But anyway, so I found that there's always something fun going on at a Comic-Con. That's like two of my little stories. But literally every con I go to, there's always something outrageous that happens. Oh, another one which was really good was there was – I was at a con, and I'm trying to think of the name of this one. I do so many. It was a local one about an hour or two away from Charlotte, and I was next to a table – where the people didn't show up. So they put this realistic, awesome, super real Yoda on the table. And people kept coming up and wanted to take pictures. And I'm like, that's just a random table Yoda. I don't know that Yoda. I kept doing jokes like the best table Yoda is a random table Yoda because a random table Yoda don't stop and all that. And then like, so I was doing, and every single person came over and took a picture with this Yoda. So I think I photobombed 500 pictures, and it's just like me behind the Yoda, like like with my tongue out and all that kind of great stuff. And it was just like a random table Yoda, and everyone's like, dude, is that your Yoda? I'm like, nope. I was like, just random table Yoda.
Dude, you should just be like, that guy just showed up, and I just told him that table was free, and he just stood there. I don't know.
And it was like a super realistic, like really expensive Yoda. So I was like, it was like kind of a little creepy because like he was just like always like staring at me and stuff. And yeah. It was really funny. But anyway, there's always something fun.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We see so much crazy shit that I feel like I'm starting to get numb to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We've had just so many ridiculous things that we see happening. And it's just like, oh yeah, I don't know. Fucking, you know, of course. Thor knocked out Batman with his Mjolnir, and they had to call the ambulance, right?
That's right.
That's just called Dragon Con.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always something. It's always something.
Walking around Dragon Con with a smart water bottle filled with vodka.
Ooh.
Staring at women in scandalous cosplay, feeling ashamed, and then realizing, no, they want me to look.
Right. Well, that's another thing I love about selling there, because you don't just sell to a person. You sell to, like, Iron Man or something like that. And then they, like, totally play it up. You know, like, I was talking to someone who was Tony Stark for, like, a half an hour. And I kept trying to, like, have him fuck up that he's really, like, you know, Adam Scott, whatever his real name was. And he was just like, dude, every question, he was like, Tony Stark, Tony Stark, Tony Stark. I mean, like, and I was just like, okay, just get out of here.
I think I've seen that guy.
Where I was like, okay, dude, like, it's enough. But I love that, because you're not just selling your art to a person, you're selling it to a character, too. Which is great.
Yeah, and everybody else is there just as much for, if not more, for the experience than you are.
Speaking of cosplay... Alex's girlfriend is currently painting Chris's girlfriend as a test run for cosplay.
Ooh, okay. Do I get three guesses as to what it is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You might get it.
I was gonna say the Kurgan from Highlander, but I think that's a little obscure.
That's
Clancy Brown.
God bless.
You are 1 week too early. That is next week's.
Thulsa Doom from Conan the Barbarian.
Still a little obscure.
Okay. Let's see. A little more mainstream. Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh. Funny story.
Yes, you're right. That's
the, oh, no, actually, no, I was getting the vibe.
Then. Funny story. I actually was Audrey 2 in high school.
Nice.
I was the puppeteer in high school for.
I was the dentist. You ate me.
He was delicious.
A little bit of trivia. Do you know who the original the original patron was that visited the dentist in the first movie, the black and white one before they did the
remake? The one with Jack Nicholson? No, I've never
seen it. Jack Nicholson. You got it. It was Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson was the Steve Martin
was the dentist in the second one,
Bill Murray was the patron that went to go see Steve Martin, and that was actually Jack Nicholson in the first one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
And it was originally produced by Roger Corman.
Yeah. Right. Well, that was a movie, man. I loved Little Shop of Horrors as a kid. You know why? Because they did it all practical. Like, I think Jim Henson was involved in it, and they really did it really great. Like, the actual plant was there. I mean, no matter how good the 3D gets, there's always something off with it where you're like, it's not really there.
It's the Uncanny Valley.
Well, it's that. Artist. It's also the lighting. They never really get the light. The subject correctly. So,
CGI is so much better for backgrounds and effects than
you got it. Or when they do the whole movie as it. Like, I really loved that Beowulf movie they did with Angelina Jolie and all. Because they did the whole movie as CG. They didn't kind of try to, like, throw actual Angelina in there, and you're like, that looks like shit.
Yeah. Well, you also can't have Ray Winstone play a 6'5".
No,
muscular really character because he's short and pudgy.
Yeah,
it's funny because I showed my wife that's the guy that was the voice, and she's like, no. I said, yeah,
yeah.
And that's always been good because like a Scanner Darkly with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, right.
God,
it was amazing, and that was like real early on for that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah, it was completely rotoscoped.
That was a great movie. It was a little jarring at first, but dude, man, after a while, you got really into all that kind of stuff.
Rory Cochrane having a complete freak out.
Right.
Loved it.
Oh, Robert Downey Jr. when he was still on drugs.
Yeah.
I miss him on drugs.
Yeah, I definitely miss less than zero RDJ.
Right. Yeah. I want my RDJ back to being really coked out now.
God knows he's got the money for it now.
Holy
shit.
You know, and I'd take it back if that wasn't the drug of choice. Maybe some type of weirdo peyote thing we don't know about or something.
He's or microdosing some type of like, on the set.
You know, some type of like pterodactyl placenta or something. Something really hardcore that you're like, oh shit, really? And then you know, you kind of have a little bit of respect for him because you're like, oh fuck, man, like a person could really do that. You're like, oh shit, RDJ, man, you know, you got it going on. I missed that. Kind of stuff.
That's what I aspired to.
I think it was. I think it was really the Sherlock that kind of just made him more mainstream and less like really just off of.
No.
I think he gave up.
Man.
Right, he gave up the pterodactyl placenta for that, and it was
which, you know, solid trade-off.
I want to be that rich. I want to be so rich that I can just trip balls on pterodactyl placenta.
You got it, dude. I mean, that's kind of what happened to Michael Jackson and stuff. All right, let's not get into that. That's a little.
I mean, once we monetize this shit,
we'll have a whole $5.
Right. But I think everybody would be lining up for pterodactyl placenta if that really kind of gets you going.
Fuck, that could just be our thing that gets us money to the point where we can actually afford the pterodactyl placenta that we sell.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Guys, it's a pyramid scheme.
I see it. Well, it's a whole, you know, it's a whole thing because then, like, you know, then you got to put the money back into actual farming the placenta and, like, do you use synthetic pterodactyl or real pterodactyl? You know, it's like a whole.
I mean, do you artificial insemination?
Right.
You gotta call Jeff Goldblum and
I was just about to say Goldblum's got to be involved. I mean, even if he's got nothing to do with it, you got to have him on, you know, staff so he can just be like, life finds a way. You know, just so then he can just say it.
Well,
you just have to have him say it. You know?
Chris and
I. I miss my Jeff Goldblum as like Brundlefly from.
Oh God.
I miss that shit. What the hell is going on, man? You know, how come movies aren't like that anymore? Where it's like the most disturbing thing, like where a man's junk falls off, and you're like, oh shit, you know, you're like, wow, that's actually pretty good.
I,
you know,
I love the fly so much.
Dude, I wish David Cronenberg would get back to body horror. I've really appreciated his foray into just hyper-violence with Eastern Promises and A History of Violence. But man, if we don't need some good practical body horror.
Dude, man, I mean, I'm just so like upset. And I was such a big fan of like, you know, the practical stuff and like all the Stan Winston things. And like, you know, that's what made movies so magical was the actual magic. And they're kind of like fucking it up, man. I mean... I forget the celebrity I was talking to about Sean Connery at one of the cons. This was fabulous. He was
you weren't talking to Sean Connery. You were talking to celebrity about Sean Connery.
I was talking to John Forsythe, and you know who he is. He's like a big B kind of. He plays a lot of characters. He's a character actor.
No, he's brilliant. He was didn't he play Death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
Oh, sorry, not him, William Forsythe. I get my Forsythe confused. I don't have enough Forsythe for Forsythe.
Well, I live in Forsythe County.
Oh, nice.
But we pronounce it Forsythe.
Oh, okay.
Because we're a little country.
But yeah, no, William Forsythe, that's the guy. So, because at the cons, you meet a lot of famous people like Anthony Michael Hall and all types of great stuff like that.
I would love to meet Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, dude, man, I shared so many intimate moments with him. It was outrageous.
How big is it?
You know, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't like to talk, you know.
Yeah. A man likes
to keep that stuff, you know, on the DL. But anyway, so I was talking to Forsythe about Sean Connery, and this was outrageous. I mean, talk to an awesome actor about Sean Connery. I was like, dude, this is crazy. Because he was in The Rock with Sean Connery.
Right.
And I was talking to him about how he, he actually... Forsythe actually improvised the line like, oh, you know, what's the matter? You don't have enough lead in your pencil, where he tells him like that his like wang doesn't work pretty much. And Sean Connery like rolled with it, and it was like off script, and I'm talking about it. And then he shared this really awesome story about this should have been my con story. I'm sorry about an actual.
You're telling it now.
Yeah, okay, all right, here we go. So Forsythe's telling me about Connery, and he said that he was on a set. Connery was talking to him about something that happened during The Untouchables. And Connery was on the set, and there was a fan that actually made it onto the set, and he was giving Connery a lot of shit, like, hey there, Connery, like, you're some James Bond, you know, really being a jerk. Like, how's that James Bond doing, you know, whatever. A key grip threw him off the set, and Connery turned to the key grip, and he's like, if you ever do my business again, I'll slap the shit out of you. And I was going crazy because I'm talking to this guy about Sean Connery. I'm like, dude, this is unbelievable. It was really just...
he was trolling Sean Connery, and Sean Connery had his back.
Exactly. Like Connery was pissed that the guy, took care of his business, because Connery would have thrown that guy the fuck out.
Right. For this shit. I live to get fucked with by fans.
Exactly. And I was like, dude, that's the most like baller hardcore shit I ever heard. I was like, oh my God. Because Sean Connery will fuck some shit up. I mean, he Ramirez can fuck some shit. I mean, if he could take out, the Kurgan got him. That was sad.
Sean Connery has 007 on his golf balls.
Yeah, man.
Does he really?
Yeah, man.
Yes.
He is 007. I mean, it's sad. I mean, everybody likes, what's his name? Craig. The new one. What's his name?
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, Craig. I mean, Craig's okay. But Connery is the, 007.
He's just fun.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't afraid to, like, fuck some shit up and slap a woman around. I mean, sorry.
That's what he did.
It was the time.
Will
it was the time.
Never be James Bond.
You know, he smoked cigarettes and he got shit done, man. You know, he was taking names and, slaying some ass along the way.
And he finds it perfectly fine to open hand strike a woman.
Exactly. But look, I don't encourage any of that stuff, but it was the time. That's, kind of how it was.
I know, but he said it to Barbara Walters.
He did. Oh, man. And he's also one of the original people that wore, he's been bald, I think, since he was 10 or something.
No, yeah, he had to wear a toupee.
In everything.
Wait, fuck off. James Bond wore a toupee
since the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, dude, you don't know about that? Yo, no. Oh, my God. Connery's been bald for, like, 70 years. Something like that. Right? It's like that.
Yo, I can tell you every fucking car that James Bond has driven. I had no idea that Sean Connery wore a toupee.
I'm
dude,
so...
Dude, man, he had the toupee button. Like, you know, if the toupee blew off, you know, he pressed the button and the toupee came out. And popped up on the head. I mean, like, you know, Q Branch was good with all the, like, you know, like, lasers and shit. But, man, they decked out Connery with the headgear. Like, whoa. They
pretty had sure that shit he also wore a Merkin.
Yeah,
they had that shit unlocked, man. He just
too
pressed
early for
buttons.
Toupee plugs, but you can press a button and have hair again.
Dude, toupee, 1 second, boop.
I'm just glad we have somebody on the podcast that has my level of esoteric bullshit trivia stuck in his head.
Man. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, I'm a big fan of movies and, like, nerd stuff and geekdom and, you know, video games and comic books. I mean, my dad made me read H.P. Lovecraft when I was, like, 10 years old.
That's fantastic. Like,
you should have made the drive, goddammit.
I know. Like, I'm sorry. I know.
We're all...
My puppy
had a play date today. My puppy had a play date, so I had to like, yeah, I know, puppy play dates, dude. I mean, it kind of trumps everything else, but no, I know I should have came up for you guys. I'm sorry about that, but
no,
it's like, fine. It's just we're now officially all best friends.
Yeah, I just got a fifth of gin for free today, and you're not
sweet. Yeah, I've been really excited to be on your show, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to make the trip, but I go to so many cons and I drive for like many hours.
Dude, totally get it.
I think this is the one weekend I didn't have to drive 3 hours in one direction. I'm like, dude, I'm not doing it.
Totally.
So, you know, that kind of thing. And I enjoy it because, you know, I bring my puppy to the cons and stuff, and he has a lot of fun meeting the kids and things. So I'm always like, you know, I'm blasting Kiss along the way and like just really like knocking out in the Mustang and coming through and hooking up people with Wizard Kit and shit. Yeah. So, you know, I love doing that kind of stuff. But, dude, man, I was just like not making it. But sorry about that. But anyway, so do you have any other questions for me? Any other art-related fun stuff? Or we're just going to talk about Sean Connery's boldness?
I still want to know about rooftop sword fights.
Well, we'll save that to the end.
Oh, my God.
I love that he's doing this to you guys.
You fucking cock tease.
I got to do it because I got to leave you guys wanting more. You know?
So
Chris and I have a very... interesting story.
Please, so, tell the story.
So,
oh yeah, we do.
Chris and I have this insane ability when it's just the two of us going to a concert or going out together.
To have shenanigans.
We page 47.
Nice. I love shenanigans. Shenanigans are always great.
So, you know about the page 47?
I was going to open a bar called Shenanigans for a little while there. But yeah, go on.
So, the page 47 is a metaphor for choosing your own adventure, right? So,
oh, cool.
When we say page 47, it's just shits off the rails.
Right, like the old school books, you know, you always choke
your... Yeah,
turn to page 47.
When your knight takes a sharp left into usually awesomeness.
Sometimes terribleness.
Sometimes terribleness.
Right. Well, awesomeness and terribleness come hand in hand.
Very true.
Without the yang, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's the universe rubber band snapping back.
Right, like it's like my puppy barbarian painting. I mean, like he can overcome evil, but he can't overcome the evils of potty training. So you got to walk him, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's the yin and the yang, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
so Wednesday night, we went to go see an electronic artist that...
One of your favorite.
One of my favorite electronic artists named Ghost, spelled G-O-S-T.
Nice.
Messaged him on Facebook, set up an interview, which will be forthcoming. Ended up going upstairs to the green room, talking to him for 35, 45 minutes. Then after the show, we're all hanging out, and he's like, let's go to the Baxter.
Yeah, which is the barcade, like... Out the back door.
Out the back door of the venue.
The venue.
And I was like, oh, so you guys are going to go to the Baxter? And he was like, you're coming too.
Nice.
And I was like, okay. So I messaged some friends of mine that I knew that lived in Chapel Hill and close by. My buddy Reed shows up.
No. We met somebody that just happened to know Reed.
That's right. Okay. Because it's a little fuzzy.
We were too drunk to even think about the fact that he lived in Raleigh now.
Yeah. Reed ended up showing up with a nice young lady.
Yes.
I mentioned something about wanting to shave my head because I just wanted to do something different. I hadn't shaved my head in a while.
You know, that's how you know most conversations start. Like, hey, how's it going? I want to shave my head. You know?
Right. So we're outside smoking a cigarette. The bar had closed, and she's like, "Oh, you want to shave your head? That's a coincidence because I just happened to work at the hair salon that we're smoking a cigarette behind right now."
Oh, shit. She called you on it.
So, five minutes later, I'm in a salon chair with a cape draped around me, getting my head shaved at 2:30 in the fucking morning.
Sweet. So you got the full Connery then?
Yeah.
Nice.
So she finishes shaving Colin's head and he goes to stand up out of the chair and she physically grabs him by the shoulders and pushes him back down in the chair.
Oh, no.
She proceeds to cut bricks in the back of my head.
Oh, man. Ooh.
And it is dope.
It's dope. It looks really good.
Oh, sweet. She did a good job on it.
Oh, yeah. She hooked my shit.
Oh, sweet. See, it's nothing worse than, like, you know, you get, like, a really, really awesome, like, you know, outrageous kind of hairstyle, and they just fuck that shit up, man. You're just like, oh, dude, you know, you want to get some, like, awesome, like, you know, perm or waves or something, and they just blow that shit.
And it was incredible because we had been drinking for a very long time.
We've been pacing ourselves, but it was starting to catch up.
By all rights, broke into a hair salon.
Nice.
And she just hooked him up with a free haircut. Nice. That was dope.
Oh, so she broke into it, so like it wasn't like, oh yeah, because she said it was like 2 a.m.
Yeah, because she worked there, and it was like 2 a.m.
Oh, cool.
And there was just a lockbox, and she was like, nah, I got a key.
Were you a little afraid that she was just going to like, you know, like kind of sort of like almost take your head off because you know, guys like drunk and stuff?
I was expecting some Sweeney Todd shit.
Yeah.
Right. I was about to say, dude, you know, that floor is going to open up, and you're going to be in the cellar in 2 seconds.
I'll be meat pie before the sun comes up.
Right. See, I found whenever people are kind of eager to, like, help you with things like that, it's always something kind of like, there's always that, like, hidden floorboard switcheroo going to go on, you know, that kind of thing. Which leads me back to rooftop. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, come on!
But anyway, go on. Yes.
And it was just an amazing experience. Like
the best part of it was we walked outside and Ghost is standing outside and Colin's been geeking out because he's hanging out with one of his favorite musicians. He walks outside and they're like, "Holy shit, you had hair like 10 minutes ago."
Yeah. And Ghost was like, "Ghost was like, what the fuck?"
Also, like in the time it took Colin to get his hair, one of the other dudes that was at the show and drunk, like, decided he was just like part of the road crew now and just like got in the van and went to New York City.
No, they were on their way to Virginia.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
New York City by way of Virginia.
Right.
Right. Well, as it always is, it's, you know, Virginia then New York.
Like, I think he even offered us to go with him too.
I think
he was like, "Do you want to come?" And I was like, "If I didn't have a full-time job,
two more beers and I'm there, man."
Right. Yeah, I love that kind
call
of stuff.
Call my dad and be like, "Hey, go check on my cat. I'm in Richmond."
Yeah, that kind of stuff is awesome.
Right, yeah, I love that stuff. And that's kind of what I try to bring to everybody with my artwork. A little bit of the crazy, a little bit of the out there kind of thing. And, you know, something like every day where you're like, dude, is that a cowboy shark? And you're like, of course it is. You know, like hey, is that Bowling Cthulhu? Like, why wouldn't it be? You know?
Yeah.
Which I try to bring to people. And it's funny because a lot of people really get it, which is really great with my artwork. Cause like,
that's good.
This is another good one. I love selling artwork to like really random people, like a 12-year-old girl buys sexy pizza, you know things like that. So I was at Heroes Con in Charlotte, which is a great Comic Con.
Yeah, we adore Heroes Con.
Heroes is fabulous. I actually met the creator of Ren and Stimpy there, and like he loved.
So did we.
Yeah, he loved my artwork. I did art trades with him. I have all the signed stuff by him and all this great stuff. Well, he's actually teaching at my alma mater, my college right now in New York at SVA. So I was talking to him about SVA and all that fun stuff. But anyway, so you know, I was just, you know, I like selling my art to all types of people. And there was like a 15-year-old girl that came with like big red hair, and she was Wendy from Wendy's, and her dad was Colonel Sanders. And
I think I saw them.
Right. And it was really great because out of all my artwork, you know, I have pool hustling piglets and wizard kittens and puppy barbarians and all cutesy stuff, baby griffins and things. And she picked Bowling Cthulhu out of all my stuff. So now I got to think about this like 15-year-old Wendy with Bowling Cthulhu on her wall growing up and stuff. So anyway, so then Colonel Sanders goes to pay for it and he's like, "Let me get my nugget money," and he takes it out. He had all his money in the bucket, like the fried chicken bucket, and like takes it out. So it's like cute stuff like that I love. That's you know, so like I got to think about some 15-year-old girl growing up with a Bowling Cthulhu on her wall because, you know, I painted it. That kind of thing. So, which is cool, but then, you know, I also have to think about, oh, man, I warped so many minds. But I like doing that kind of stuff. So. Why not? It's part of the it's occupational hazard.
Is that not the point?
A little bit of the point. It's a little bit of the point. But again, like, you know, my mind is so warped, I don't even think that that is, like, a, you know, an actual issue, you know, kind of thing. I mean, like I said, my dad made me read H.P. Lovecraft when I was, like, 10. Yeah. You know, like, I was, like, doing fine art portraits of my sister, when, you know, by candlelight, you know, while my friends are outside, like, playing football. And, like,
with a raven pecking at your window.
Right. You know, it's that kind of upbringing, you know.
It's also, like, your stuff isn't super over-sensationalized. Like, it's not, you say it's warped, but it's not, like...
Right, no, no.
Fucked
no.
up, you know?
No.
And that's what I like about it is because it's so just out of left field, and you're just connecting these just dots that are just, like, nobody else could see, you know? And it's inspirational, man. Like, I really dig your shit.
Thank you. And that's just a tip of the iceberg. It's what I'm allowed to bring outside. You know, like the rest of it, I'm not, you know, that kind of thing's got to stay hidden.
Do you want to talk to us a little bit about Dungeonware?
Of course. So Dungeonwares is my design studio that I started up to really get my paintings out there to people. And like we've been talking about, I have a lot of like out there kind of, you know, different things. You know, it's not really fan art stuff. I try to do my original things, you know, so it's no paintings of Spider-Man. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But, you know, it's all my own original stuff. I have, you know, Rabbit Knights and Puppy Barbarians and Bowling Cthulhu and Cowboy Sharks and fun stuff like that. And yeah, I try to bring something a little different, a little unique to people. And my creed, my motto is to you know, bring fine art to all the people of the land. You know, if there's a girl wizard kittenless, I'll be there. If there's a knight in need of a film noir detective raptor T-shirt, you know, I will be there. You know, that's my kind of thing. It just, you know,
hook the knight.
And I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that that's a noble pursuit. You know what I mean? To bring fine art to people in an affordable way.
You got it. I mean, like, when I was a kid, I mean, my mother had an oil painting. I don't even remember how much she paid for that shit. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, thinking about that and, you know, going to school for fine arts and oil painting and all that kind of stuff. And this is another reason I can do it, you know, a little bit cheaper for people is because I paint everything in Photoshop. It's all digital art, which is the way that the video game industry is going. I mean, everything's digital art, from concept art to storyboards and all that stuff, because it's easier to get your ideas out to people because, you know, it's already in the computer. You don't have to scan
and
it.
And with video games, everything transfers smoothly. You move it.
You got it. So it's been a very easy for me to, like, you know, get my art printed to a T-shirt and to, you know, a print and to a postcard and to a sticker and, you know, all this fun stuff. And I have a little something for everybody. I have, you know, wizard kittens for some people. I have sexy pizza for others. I try to, you know, cater to everybody, you know, that kind of thing. You know, so it's been a lot of fun with Dungeonwares and really on the road and meeting people. And I love just, you know, talking to people about artwork and fun stuff and all the craziness that happens at cons. And, you know, it's really been a lot of fun. But yeah, but Dungeonwares has been my, you know, pet project for the past almost 2 years now that I've really been trying to get my art out there and have a lot of fun with it. And I think it's been going really well.
I see people wearing, like, Rex Preston at cons.
Ah, nice.
You know what I mean? Like, even cons that you're not at.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, I've seen it for sure.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I had, I was just at Shelby Comic Con the other weekend, and a kid came up in my Rex Preston T-shirt, and he bought Cowboy Shark and stuff. So it's really great to see people that really are looking at what's next for Dungeonwares. And for this year, I really I'm going to step the bar up and be even more outrageous and do even more awesome art and things. And since my last batch of shirts is all sold out, we're doing a total new line of all new crazy artwork for T-shirts. Fun stuff.
That's exciting. So.
Oh, thank you. So I try to offer something a little different to people too. So when they come back, they're like, oh, hey, you know, like I bought something from you, you know, 6 months ago. But hey, you know, you got so much new awesome art. Let's, you know, give you a little something. And I don't really charge that much. I mean, my prints are like, you know, like $15, and you know, my T-shirts are like $25. I'm not like asking $60 for a shirt. Or anything
like I just really appreciate it because it seems like a lot of the creativity that you channel is very similar to what a lot of the comic books are doing and stuff like that, but since you're so iterative on it, you're just kind of like hitting the one-liner, right? Like,
right.
Okay, I had an idea. I got a picture. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, well, I got this other idea. I got a picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it right. leaves so much open for people to honestly, like, it leaves a lot of open for people to appreciate about it, because there's not a whole lot more. It's just like, hey, this Thanks. Is a cool thing. This
well,
is
right, cool. and that's kind of the essence of it, because you got to hook somebody fast, because if they don't see something awesome right away, they're done. You know, they'll move on and they'll yeah. buy some painting of Spider-Man from someone who never worked for Marvel, and nobody right. gives right. a shit.
Yeah, kind of right.
stuff. And that's kind of sad, because it's kind of copyright infringement, and it's kind of
well,
sort of.
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem,
I don't have a problem with
somebody.
I'm not saying anything like painting. That. But, you know, yeah. like, why would I want your painting of Spider-Man? You had nothing to do with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's like,
right. I don't. Usually, I don't have a problem with people painting Spider-Man like
of
that
course,
and
course,
selling
course.
It, because, you know, Marvel's pretty cool mm-hmm. about that. As
of
long
course,
as
of course, of course, of course.
But yep. what I cannot stand, and this may be controversial, I may piss some people off that listen, but I don't care. I'm really over the people who come to cons only to sell prints of other people's work.
Dude,
they
that's
have slightly
fucked up,
digitally
man.
Edited.
Oh, I'm excuse my French, but yeah, man, that is yeah. messed up stuff.
No, like,
I was at a con recently, and there was like three or four booths there just selling prints of
artwork.
Stuff they downloaded off the internet, mm-hmm. and they're yeah. just like, hey, look, it's a paining of a Pokemon. Yeah. No, it's not. You didn't paint it. You yeah. didn't do it. What are you talking
about? And for some fucking reason,
they
never
really
expect to run into the people that made it.
Dude, it's happened, man. Yeah. There was somebody, I don't like to name names or anything like that, but there was somebody who was doing this at a couple of cons, and people kind of called him out on his shit, and they're like,
yeah.
dude, you know, that's like something off of the Nintendo Pokemon website. Like, you can't just do that.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he's been blacklisted from cons now.
Because yeah. I called that guy out one show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked up,
there
man.
Was
it's
a,
fucked up.
There was an entire article about it on CBR.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, there was. Dude, I mean, it is messed up. The last show I was at, there was at least three people doing it. And, like, yep. I don't like to, you know, I don't want to say I'm a nice guy, but I try to be nice to everybody. And
yeah.
I don't
live
really.
Live and let live.
Right, exactly. That's how I roll. I don't like to start stuff. I don't like to be a jerk to people and things like that. So I don't really say anything, but it is messed up, man. I had there's one of my friends from the cons who's like a local artist here from North Carolina, and he was like really upset because he didn't really sell that much stuff, and then somebody walked past with like a print of Harley Quinn that nobody made, that the guy downloaded, that's totally illegal, and like yeah. all that kind of shit, and like and they didn't buy his painting that he like put his soul into.
Yeah.
Or somebody spending $4 on some crap they could have printed out. Yeah. It's just sad.
And stuff like that. Like it's bad enough when those people are selling other people's artwork. But
yeah.
but like what the stuff you're saying, where they're downloading like official artwork, that's
yeah,
real fucked up. Because you have a lot of artists that mm-hmm. are making a living on something that's pseudo legal to begin with, right? Like
exactly.
something that companies allow because they
mm-hmm.
turn a blind eye. And then
no one's gonna tell somebody in like you know, Marvel's not gonna come down on some guy in rolling North Carolina to say,
yeah.
hey, dude, can you know that kind of thing. But yeah,
well,
yeah, exactly.
And it enhances their brand,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if Joe Schmo from North Carolina is drawing Spider-Man and selling it, it's helping Spider-Man as a brand.
Exactly,
but
and
then
because they're mm-hmm. yeah, go on.
The point where these guys are exploiting that and legitimately just copying official material. Is just super insane.
Like, at a con, I went by a print tower and saw a Billy Fowler print.
Yep.
45 fucking feet
from
Billy
Fowler.
Yeah.
That's
man.
Nuts.
It's
sad.
I
was at a con once where, and what's really sad is like there's some people that have the print towers that have to have their own art, and
which is
you know,
fun.
Which is right because they have like a lot of art and they're trying to get it out there and stuff. But I was at a con once where somebody plopped up this piece of shit skyscraper of like illegal crap and was like totally foreshadowing me. And I kind of talked to the head of the con. And I'm like, dude, that's messed up. And they're like, they came over and they're like, well, we can make a big thing out of it and make them take down your wall. And then the guy's going to be mad at you. And then, you know, you're going to look like a piece of shit or we won't do it. And I'm like, okay, don't do it. And then I ended up actually outselling the guy because people would look at his crap and then they'd see mine next to it and they're like, oh, that's something fun and unique and whatever. And then the guy started jocking my shit, man. Like I he started trying to like do like jokes like me, and then I do things like I have I have a contest too, where a lot of cons where I randomly pick someone who signs up to win a free piece of art or a picture of me in a bikini. So it's A or B. You know, you could win the bikini pick, or you could win, you know, a piece of artwork. So the next day, it was a 2-day con. The next day, the guy came with like a sign up sheet for like you know, an art giveaway and all that stuff. And I was like, oh my god, dude! You know, like really
that's
was
fucking shameless.
I mean, he's jocking my shit while I was in front of him, and I was like, oh man! I mean, like it was just. It's sad, and I totally agree. It's
thanks for calling it jocking my shit too. That that makes me feel good.
Well, I think that con organizers from now on are going to be taking a little bit, because I know it's hard to vet every fucking venue.
Exactly.
But I think they're going to do a little bit better of a job.
To make it too.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, you know, just for you, at the end of the day, you're the guy who thought of the idea of win a photograph of me in a bikini.
Right.
And even if somebody starts aping your shit,
right,
you're the dude who thought of that, and you can rest easy knowing that if some other jackass has to steal,
well, you know, he didn't go as far with the he didn't go that far with the bikini pick of mystery, but he really did the whole like contest thing like right after and stuff. And it's funny because I actually, you know, I pick people to win the contest, and somebody really wanted the bikini pick, and my wife's. My wife said no. She put the kibosh on it.
I
was going to do it. I was going to do it. You know, I waxing had begun. You know, I'm not so red and bumpy now. You know, and all that kind of
stuff.
Bless
your heart.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. I have a nice, you know, two-piece and everything. And my wife said no. So I was like, oh. And I told the guy, I'm sorry, I can't do it. He made us think about it, man. He kept he kept writing me all this like fucked up shit, and he's like, you know, you promised it, and everything. I'm like, dude, just take the T-shirt. It was a joke, you know, that kind of thing.
I will say right now, if somebody can rate and review us on iTunes and encourage three other people to do the same, they will get a picture of at least one of us in a bikini.
I have no problem.
Nice.
But to prove
not you,
not Olivia. One of the males.
I would like fuzzy. Alex, I don't look like it, but I'm fuzzy.
See,
I think Alex could pull it off.
That's for sure. Because I've got tits. So
I was going to say physique. I wasn't going to say.
So
but you know, we all got the. I think you could pull it off, dude.
I think so too.
Here's the thing: is that in order for you to prove this to us. To prove that you've actually done this, there has to be a key word in every single review.
Yeah, what's the key word? Let him come
Garrett,
up.
Garrett, yes. Pick us a key word that they have to shoehorn into the review, even if it doesn't fit.
Kurgan.
I'm
there you
in.
Because like, nobody's ever going to drop that. I mean, that's really hard to get
that's
in
a
there.
Good one.
If you don't know who the Kurgan is, listeners, Google it and get some culture. Okay.
There you go.
And if you don't know who Clancy Brown is, get out.
Exactly. Mr. Krabs. He's Mr. Krabs.
Is he Mr. Krabs?
Yeah, he's the voice of Mr. Krabs.
Oh, you even stumped me, dude. Yeah. I can't believe that. Oh,
I know my shit, man.
Wow, and I like to think that I know the most obscure craziness and things like that. I can't believe he's Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you should check out this movie called I Know That Voice. It's nice. All about voice actors.
Oh, sweet, 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 sweet.
It was
it's real good. It's produced by John DiMaggio. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's awesome. Plugs.
Nice stuff. Oh, yeah. Man, I can't believe he's Mr. Krabs. No, he's not Mr. Krabs.
Yeah, Google it.
Wow. Wow, I'm Googling it right. Oh, yes, it is.
So, at the end of every episode, we do this thing called Picks and Plugs. Everybody know what a plug is.
Sweet.
And Picks is pretty much what it sounds like. Anything that you think people should actively seek out and consume.
Awesome.
We also do anti-picks, which today Alex has an
anti-pick.
I have an anti-pick? Anti-pick. Yes.
Nice.
So I'll go ahead and start it off.
Oh, damn.
And I'm sorry to do this.
It's real anti.
Well, here's the thing, is that I feel kind of bad about saying it because...
No, fuck it. Sin boldly.
Okay. Actually, no. This has been a fun episode. I'm gonna do a pick because I don't want to bring it down. By
okay,
bad
nice,
shit.
Nice.
So we gotta tell us what the anti pick is after the show.
I will tell you later.
We'll anti pick next week.
Well, I'll save it for next week and I'll do it.
Right, because you know this was the Wizard Kitten Baby Dragon Hour. So
right, that's the name of the episode.
I know. The name of the episode is rooftop sword fighting, and we're never gonna
like
talk about
too.
It.
Yeah, I like that too. There you go. We'll get to it.
You son of a bitch.
I gotta leave you guys wanting more.
I better hear this off air, or fuck right. you.
Or I'm gonna have to pay you money.
There you go. See, I was gonna tell you next that you know I gotta get a little bit of something on the side for the sale.
I will shamelessly steal the picture of your cat.
Uh-oh. I only have one, so you know. Then you know what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself in a rooftop sword fight.
There you go. Calling it now, Oak City.
I do
rooftop sword fight.
I do come with several katanas and claymores with me. I mean, I do pack a lot of artwork, but there's several katanas also, a couple of claymores.
I'll have protection.
I'll kick off our round of picks.
Yes,
We recently did a kind of sort of crossover thing with a podcast called The Joy of Geek. And
cool.
One of their hosts actually has a book out with Scout Comics called Terminal Protocol. Nice. I just finished reading it.
Sweet.
Shit is solid. Like,
oh, awesome.
Really solid. Nice. I really enjoyed it. It's about basically just a very short synopsis. Two people, husband and wife team, who have essentially pioneered robotics in kind of a future tech way, and the husband gets terminally ill, so the wife now has to find a way to save him, and because
they're
robotics people.
Does she sell
off her
organs and become a robot also?
No, well, like, she... Like the whole
I knew it. I didn't even have to read it. And I knew
yeah,
it.
but there is a nice little twist in it, like because he gets turned into a robot early,
right? Right.
So that's not like the crux of the story.
Okay.
So there is a really cool plot point in it that takes an odd turn that kind of makes you go, huh? It's really well written. The artwork is really interesting and like kind of. Not cartoony, but like very Daria,
right?
In
stylized,
a way.
Like that.
And I love it. And it's once again called Terminal Protocol. Yeah.
How many issues,
Jordan Alseca? It's one.
And I love love stylized stuff and people that really take their own take on things. And
yeah,
that's great. That's great.
So Jordan Alseca is the writer. I forget the name of the fucking artist, and I'm sorry, but it's from Scout Comics. Terminal Protocol. Go out and pick it up.
I've got a pick.
Go for it.
Have you ever wondered what would happen if M. Night Shyamalan produced a movie directed by Guy Ritchie, written by what's your Pride and Prejudice?
Jane Austen,
starring Ben Affleck.
Ooh.
I do now.
I'm not a big fan of the Fleck, though, but yeah, go ahead.
Nobody is.
I know. Batfleck broke my heart, man. I was like, no, come on, Batfleck.
Yo, my girlfriend
had the chin for it. I liked the chin, but you can't make a whole movie about a chin, dude. I mean, like, come the fuck on, man. I was like, he's really Batfleck. And then my friend's like, well, he's got the chin. And I was like, that's not, you know,
it's not enough.
Thing about it, and then you know, like I guess 20 minutes of the chin, you're like, oh, it's the chin, it looks good, and then you're like, oh, it's not so good.
And then at that point, you're watching Fairly Odd Parents, and it's the crimson chin,
right?
Yeah. I love
the crimson chin. I love the chin.
Voiced by Jay Leno.
Oh yes, it was Jay Leno. That's true.
It was. So
God, I know too much shit.
Tots made me watch Gone Girl. Fucking fantastic.
Oh, was it good?
It was incredible.
Well, it's a David Fincher film, isn't it?
Yeah.
David Fincher directed it?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I saw that. I did see that. That was pretty good.
Somebody spoiled the fucking ending for me.
And you know what? If you haven't seen it still, it's still good.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Because the thing that's awesome about it is it's a psycho thriller, and like I set it up as just as twisty and turny as you could expect from Shyamalan or Guy Ritchie.
Nice.
But with this Jane Austen... fucking backstabby girl sensibility to it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked when she I forget which was the nerd guy that was obsessed with I don't want to blow it off, but yeah. she did some real messed up shit in that movie. I was like, whoa.
What's his fit? How I Met Your Mother. Doogie House.
Neil Patrick.
Yes, Harris. Doogie. It was Doogie. Yeah, yeah, it was Doogie. Yeah. You know, when you pull one over on Doogie, you're like you show some respect. I mean, like honestly, I mean Neil Patrick doesn't really, you know, make too many appearances.
Yeah.
But dude, when you fuck up Doogie, man, that's some good shit.
And I just like how, like, going into it, the only thing I knew was that it had like a bit of like a chick flicky side to it.
It did.
And the fact that they set up the first act of the movie to be a chick flick with this like overarching like red eye saw kind of like foreshadowing where you're like, yeah, this could be Ryan Reynolds in 1997, but like shit's about to get fucked up.
Right. Okay. No, it was actually good. I do agree with you on that one.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's real good. Colin? It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun plugs too.
my pick is, I have a pick and an anti-pick.
Nice.
My pick is Ghost's album, G-O-S-T Ghost, not Swedish satanic metal band Ghost.
They like to sue people.
They do like to sue people. But its newest album is called Non Paradisi. And it is, if you are a fan of old school John Carpenter 80s synth,
nice,
and like really dark themes, then definitely check it out. It is probably the most non-metal album I've ever listened to.
Yeah, I love all that John Carpenter, because he wrote all the music for like, you know, Escape from New York and all that great stuff.
Yeah, you should check out this.
Oh! All right, I'm writing that down. I'm actually using a pen and paper. I'm not even typing it in like a Word doc.
Nice.
I'm actually like
it'll
old
also
school.
Be in the show notes of the episode.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm busting out the quill for it. I got the quill out. I'm doing the old school with the scroll.
On a separate note, did you know John Carpenter might be doing the music for the new Halloween movie by Danny McBride?
And David Gordon Green is directing it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I guess David Gordon Green's been trying to break into horror because he tried to get.
So is Danny McBride.
Wait. McBride is doing horror?
Yeah,
he's
like,
writing
like
the movie.
Not the screenwriter Danny McBride, but like the actor.
The actual, from Your Highness. The actual
yes.
Danny McBride.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that you chose fucking Your Highness. Not Eastbound and Down.
Of course, man. That's
not
his best
fucking
work.
Foot Fist Way.
Oh, my God.
That was his best work date. And
oh, my God.
And I also did like Natalie Portman in it because she kind of showed the rumps in it. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I think his best role is as Channing Tatum's fucking gimp master.
Yes, that was great. Yes,
end.
I do agree
also,
with that. And I do agree with his philosophy because, you know, when the apocalypse happens, you got to start eating people, man.
Yeah.
If you don't start eating people, you're going to get eaten. So you got to start it, dude.
And also, he's going to be in the new Alien movie.
Oh, yes, he is.
Not in a comedic relief role.
Yeah.
That's true. And I'd like to see him more of that out of him. I don't know if I love him, you know, going into horror writing, but I do like, non-comedic.
He's fucked up in the head, so.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he
like
seems
that.
Like he's got the mind for it.
This
and
actually
you know,
dovetails.
And, you know, and he did wear a Minotaur wang around his neck in Your Highness.
He did. This actually dovetails into my anti-pick.
Dude, anybody that really, like, rocks a Minotaur wang is okay in my book.
We know you're a fan of the Manator.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's just how it is, dude. I mean, that's a good truth.
Apparently, my anti-pick this week is just something I just learned. Apparently, Fangoria will never have another print magazine.
Oh!
And that fucking bums me out. I used to read Fangoria religiously.
Yeah, I loved it too, man.
Like, it was one of my favorite magazines.
Well, again, because, you know, that stems back from the whole, like, movie magic stuff, and they did a lot of behind the scenes with, like, the practical makeup and
interviews with Nicotero.
There was always something fabulous in it. Oh, dude.
Bums me the fuck out. That's my answer.
Yeah, I'm a little upset about that now.
So, how about you? You got a pick, Garrett?
Yeah, yes. Oh, my. What are we calling them again? Plugs?
Pick of the week.
We're doing, so we do picks and plugs.
Picks and plugs.
Something
okay.
that you like that someone else has done, and plugs are where people can find you.
Right. See, I had a good joke with the plug aspect. But okay. So for the pick, I would like to plug for my pick, Q Branch's toupee line for 007.
Yep.
Because they really cover a good chrome dome real well. Because, you know, you press that button and it's just on, man. You know. Q Branch does it right. So I'd like to plug that and Connery as well. And of course, I really would like to tell all the viewers out there to really check out the works of H.P. Lovecraft and, you know, that kind of stuff. Because the dude is the master of suspense and horror writing. I mean, he wrote stuff in like the 1920s and shit, and it's like, and all that stuff is so well done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little dated. I mean, well, it was written in the Chinese, but
he's got a lot of range too. Because I never got super into the Elder God stuff, but like fucking nuts.
What breaks my heart is that I think the Call of Cthulhu and all that stuff is maybe his worst work. I mean, it's just about a guy that finds a monster on an island, but like Shadow over Innsmouth and At the Mountains of Man. I mean, some of his stories are outrageous and
the Color Outside of Space.
Oh, Color Outside of Space. That, one of favorites.
Oh God, I love that.
Well, you know, that's what they based. Did you ever see Creepshow, the old horror movie Creepshow?
Yeah, I worship Creepshow.
You remember Stephen King's segment in that where like he got covered in the moss and stuff? That's a homage to Color Out of Space, because like the asteroid crashes and he gets covered in the junk and all that stuff. That's 100%. He even quoted that as like a homage to Color Out of Space.
That's awesome.
I didn't even think about that, because I love Creepshow and the old school practical effects movies, and especially because that was Cervini's. I think he directed that Creepshow. Tom Cervini, the guy that the
I know he did. I know he did the makeup effects, but I think
yes, he did.
Romero directed.
Oh yes, Romero. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. But yeah, no, Cervini was the he did the makeup for it. But anyway, so like a lot of our he wrote about the Necronomicon, which is the Evil Dead is based off, and all stuff. So kind of like Bruce Campbell comes from H.P. Lovecraft. It's like all this, you know, you don't think about it, and it's like all this kind of
in a lot of ways we wouldn't have Romero. We wouldn't have Rod Sterling.
And we definitely wouldn't have Stephen King either, which because he kind of bases a lot of his work from the inspiration of him. I have some collective works from H.P. Lovecraft where he kind of says like, you know, that he was the master of suspense in early horror and stuff. So I definitely recommend everybody, if you love anything well written and short, and because he only wrote short stories too, so they're very short, and he hooks you too, man. I mean, once he gets the hooks in you, it's over.
At the same time, if you do get hooked on the short story, a lot of it has really good interconnectivity, and you can keep rolling through.
Right. They do connect and things, which is great. And I'd love to plug that. And I would also love to plug, Sean Connery in general and Highlander.
Remember, he's not Spanish.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, not every day someone could be Egyptian and also be named Ramirez at the same time.
Can I take my pick back? Can I pick Zardoz?
Oh, nice. Nice.
The movie he made to say fuck you to the film industry.
Since we're on a Connery kick.
Dude, his wardrobe was epic in that, the short shorts.
Oh,
the,
man.
Like the old school, like, was it suspenders and like a...
It was a banana hammock that went over his shoulders.
Right, it was like the original unitard kind of thing. It was before Beyonce. He kind of
emphasis on the tard.
Wait.
He's the original Beyonce, I'd have
to
say.
So you're telling me Sean Connery wore a hairpiece in Zardoz?
Yes, he did. Oh, that was all peace, baby. It was all peace. And he didn't not have hair. He had, like, the ring, you know, where you have, like, the little bit, you know, there's nothing on top.
You have to have the ring to rack a toupee or it doesn't work.
You got it. Because it's got to clip to something. You can't just, like, flop that around your head. You know, Q Branch can come up with a lot of things, but, dude, at the end of the day, it's got to clip, man. It's got to clip.
Now I'm going to go home and fucking watch Highlander.
Well, dude, I mean, Queen skilled the soundtrack. God. I mean, oh, come the fuck on. And the Quergan quotes Def Leppard in it. You know, he says it's better to burn out than fade away. I mean, come on, man.
I used to watch the Highlander TV show.
Yeah, man, the show was good, and they had a cartoon too. I mean, everybody had Saturday Night Cartoon.
They really did.
I mean, yeah,
it was called funny. Like everybody Highlander: had The Final Dimension or something.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I mean, like Bill and Ted had a cartoon. I mean, Back to the Future
Bill
had
a cartoon. Everybody
had
a cartoon.
The Toxic Avenger had a cartoon that I really
liked.
Right,
also Toxic amazing. Avenger.
There was
right,
a
right,
Clerks
right, right.
cartoon.
So, yeah, so I'd
which
like
is
to,
good.
I'd like to, so I'd like to plug H.P. Lovecraft and Highlander and Connery and all that great stuff. And Dungeonwares, of course. You know,
yeah. Which there will be a link in the description.
Where can people find out more about Dungeonwares and what you're doing and what cons you're going through?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I try to go to as many cons as possible because I really want to hook up people with artwork. It's not about just making a buck. It's about, you know, out there, you know, getting my paintings out to the people and the masses and stuff. Yeah. And just really just, you know, sharing the fun and the awesome experiences that that I've done. And not just me. I think it's the common man and all that kind of fun stuff. So everybody, you know, check out my stuff. My website is dungeonwares.com. And I'm Garrett Faith. I also have my portfolio up on GarrettFaith.com, where, you know, I have some of my texture art I've done for the video game industry up there. It's my personal portfolio, that kind of thing.
Social media?
Yes, my social media. Yeah, yeah. I'm on Instagram too. Dungeonwares. You know, at Instagram and all that fun stuff. I don't really do the Twitter that much. You know, it's kind of like the Twitter. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. We're learning how to use the Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. I feel very like, you know, like George W. Bush with it, like the Twitters. You know, that kind of thing with it. So it's like the Instagrams. You know,
I like to say after I'm done sending out a new tweet, I like to say that I've twatted.
Right. The old twatted and everything too. Yeah, so I kind of feel the same way with
and
that.
And anybody that's coming to see us at Oak City Comic Con can also stop by your booth, right?
Yes, I will be at Oak City. I will be there slinging, you know, wizard kittens and surfing lichens. You know, I said, it doesn't have to be a full moon to enjoy a surfing lichen. And I have so much more new art coming up and fun stuff. Because all my shirts, like I said, are limited edition. And people love the t-shirts. And all that stuff is really sold out. And you know, I get them printed digitally, which is like really, I don't want to say expensive, but it is. So it's not like a screen printed like iron-on crap. It's actually like in the fabric and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, that print quality is.
Right, I get nice fitting stuff because I want to wear it myself. I don't want it to be a novelty thing. It's a custom piece of artwork. So yes, yeah, so I'll be there, you know, slinging awesome art, and I got a lot of fun stuff planned and all types of great things coming up. So nice. So everybody, you know, check me out and all that kind of stuff.
We'll have to bring you into the talk show if you can leave the booth for a few minutes.
I should be able to. I mean, like I do, you know, I am serving up heaps of sexy pizza and fun things. So
yeah,
I mean,
of course.
I just liked my own picture of me and Sarah getting sexy pizza and baby
dude,
dragon.
You got it. Yeah, yeah. I posted you up on Instagram, of course.
Yeah.
It was nice. Yeah, I was waiting for you to see it, you know. Because I
Chris's,
you know, I take
stupid
pictures
face
of,
in the background.
Oh, there's always somebody, you know, crazy in the background. One of my favorite photobombs was, I think, Christmas Sub-Zero was photobombing someone.
Christmas Sub-Zero.
Christmas Sub-Zero. Look through my Instagram. He's there. If you look through it, one of the paintings, one of the pictures of my patrons and stuff, because I love to share everybody, you know, having fun with my artwork and stuff. Christmas Sub-Zero was photobombing, you know, someone in the background. And to any of the listeners, if they kind of, you know, Instagram me Christmas Sub-Zero in a private message, I'll hook them up with some awesome deals and some art and stuff.
Nice.
Like that. So we'll do code Christmas Sub for fun people.
That would be pretty good. I like that. I love that there's also just this random fucking picture of a kid holding up two of your medieval bunny knights.
Oh,
and
he looks so
fucking disinterested.
Nah, man, he was serious about rabid knights,
he's just like, I didn't even want these.
A levels of deadpan.
Right. Well, honestly, you know what's really funny? He already owns one. He bought them for his friends.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's the third rabid knight he's bought from. And it's funny because like he was so excited about it. I'm like, oh, I gotta get a picture of you because, you know, I remember you from another con, all great stuff. And he's like, yeah, and he just did the most deadpan. It's like, boom. I mean, it was like, it was kind of a little. I don't want to say creepy, but it kind of was. I was like, I'm expecting him to be all happy and shit, and like, yeah, man, you know, I love your art, and he was just a boom, you know. But anyway,
likes pictures.
Right. Well, yeah. Of course. Well, I ask. I always ask because, you know, it's for my Instagram and fun things like that. And I wouldn't want to impose on anybody. No. I mean, it's all about fun here and like, you know, that kind of thing. I don't like controversy and, you know, being all, you know, up in people's shit and all that kind of stuff. So I always ask. And this guy was like, oh, yeah, no doubt. No, I'm awesome. I'm so excited. And then boom, it was just like, like soulless. Like, I was like, oh, man. I was like, oh, shit. I mean, it really was. It was outrageous, man. I was a little shocked by it. But what's funny about that, like I said, the guy already owns a rabbit knight. So that was like his third rabbit knight he's bought from me.
Yeah.
I found Christmas Sub-Zero.
You found him?
Yeah, I found him. I did. I found him.
Oh, that's funny.
You guys at home can find all of that and more on the Dungeonwares Instagram.
You got it.
Check out Dungeon Wars. Alex, you want to take us out?
A small plug real quick, our side. Everybody, please, pretty soon you'll see us at NC Comic-Con Oak City. We'll be having a huge presence there, and our Kickstarter will be starting soon.
You're not going to be able to avoid us.
No. Also, the episode I did with Wreak Havoc Film Productions podcast, or Film Buffs podcast, the first episode, which is a two-parter about about Captain America Winter Soldier, went up about a week ago, and I think this coming week, another episode I'm on, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. Nice.
So if anybody wants to listen to me talk way too much about both of those.
Alex
movies.
Has strong opinions about both.
Well,
of those
I love Bardem's hair in that. He rocked the, like, you know, kind of Cabbage Patch style, like, you know,
he looked amazing.
That's a fucked up shit. And his name was Sugar. Like, yeah. You know, his name was Sugar in that. So you're like, Sugar? You know, it was.
And then, and then everybody was like,
terrifying.
It's Sugar. No, yeah, it's
Sugar.
I love it.
Sugar.
Yeah, yeah. But that's it from us.
I just thought of a good idea for a painting for you guys. If you ever wanted to commission me for a painting, we'll do a redactyl for you.
Oh, shit.
So it'd be like a really, really cool, like, yo, hipster kind of petrodactyl, like drinking a craft beer and all that kind of cool stuff.
Yes. We'll talk more about this when we hit stop.
Excellent.
But I want that, and we'll figure out how to incorporate that into the Kickstarter and pay you for it.
Oh, nice, nice, dude. Excellent.
That sounds like a great thing that people would want to buy.
Yes.
You got it. You got it.
So on behalf of Name Redacted, our... actually, sorry. We have one more thing. No, fuck you. Because you guys wanted me to do this, and I wanted to do this. We got our first comments. Oh, now are you mad? Oh,
yeah. I'm not mad. It's just like the ending of a movie that you think is just going to end at a certain point, and it keeps going.
Well, you guys kept throwing it over to me, and you didn't even ask about plugs or anything, and then you caught me off guard and shit because I was looking stuff up for it.
I'm being hyperbolic.
All
right. It's fine.
So, first of all, this episode actually goes out to everybody who has ever given us a comment, rate, review, anything. Like the 2 to 3 to 4 to 5% of you that actually take time out of your day to do stuff like that means a whole lot to us. It helps us out a lot. We got our first two
website
comments ever on the WordPress. And so thank you to Jake Wilkie and Megan with no last name.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. We really legitimately, we appreciate it.
And they were nice comments, which is even better. Like, I expected to be like, you guys should go fuck off.
I wouldn't have left us a nice comment.
No, I would not. But yeah.
Also, I mean, keep subscribing, rating, reviewing on iTunes. That helps us more than you'll ever know.
Yeah. So on behalf of our guest, Garrett Faith, and our producer, Olivia... Taylor. Wow. I just forgot for like 2 seconds. I'm so sorry.
There's so many Taylors.
I know. That's probably why I got bogged down with
so
all
many
the Taylors.
Oh, no. We ran out of time to talk about rooftop sword fights.
God,
oh,
damn.
We'll do it next time. We'll
They'll
do it next
have to
time,
come
guys.
Back.
So,
yeah.
Next time.
So, on behalf of Name Redacted, I'm Jackson Bondas.
I'm Dick Bumcock.
And I am Tito Rodriguez.
I hope you enjoyed the show. And
I'm the Kurgan.
Go out and touch some butts, guys.
Nice.